Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty and truth above, I stand in awe of you. Oh, can I stand in awe? Oh, God, to obey me, I stand in awe.
I stand in awe.
Heal someone. Deliver somebody. Touch somebody. Thank you for all the miracles we heard today. Testimonies. Be glorified, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Welcome everyone here to this service this morning in Jesus' precious name. Psalm 133, verse 1 to the end. It said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the bed, even Aaron's bed, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even light forevermore. Even light forevermore. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. The blessing of the house of the Lord, part 3. Our objective is to understand the impact and the import of the house of the Lord in the lives of the saints. Why do we go to church? Why do we have to come to church? Since we are all spiritual and we have the Spirit of God, why don't we stay at home? We have seen different reasons why different people go to church. Different things that take people to church. We saw two in the first service, two in the second service. First of all, we said, there are those who go to church for religious purposes. Their religion demands that. There are those who go to church to please others.
Maybe their father put them under pressure, their mother, their friend, their loved ones, their wife or husband. Just, okay, my wife doesn't want me to rest. Let me just go to church. There are those who go to church for traditional purposes. I was born going to church. There are those who go to church for socialization purposes. Want to meet or make friends. Business associations. Want to get married. Fifthly, there are those who go to church to keep up with a routine. It's one of the routines of life. I go to work on Monday, I go to church on Sunday. If they don't do that, something is missing. And then finally, there are those who go to church for crisis management. For them, it is a place to run to only in times of emergency. A place to go in times of trouble. It's one of the reasons. A place to run to when pursued by evil powers, witchcraft power, occult power. Only very few people understand why we go to church. And understanding is important because, first, understanding is critical to success. In every endeavor, you want to succeed with God, succeed with church, you must understand why you are in church. Second, understanding is critical to the operation of faith. Faith rides on the wings of understanding. The deeper your understanding, the stronger your faith in everything. If you see a person who has faith for supernatural supplies, that person has a deep understanding of supernatural supply. You see a person who has faith for healing and health, that person has a deep understanding. Understanding is critical to the operation of faith. And number three, understanding puts people in command. The sons of Issachar had understanding, so they were in command. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and in verse 32. And Daniel chapter 11 verse 33. They that understand among the people shall instruct many. Many will be under their command. You want to be in command spiritually. You want to be in command in spiritual matters. You must understand why you are in church. Somebody say aloud, amen. Basically, the house of the Lord is a major turning point for the lives of men. Major. A major turning point. You heard the story of that young man just now. Was in the vigil and had an encounter that delivered him from 16 demonically placed pins in his chest. It's a turnaround. Two examples. Number one, Isaiah experienced his call. When he had the vision of the Lord in the temple. The year King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted, and his train filled the temple. Either he was in a physical temple or he was in a revelation in a temple. And that was where his call came. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Where he heard the Lord say, "Who shall we send and who shall go for us?" His turning point came in the temple. Then we saw the story number two of the man that was lame from his mother's womb in Acts chapter 3. That one was not even inside the temple. He was at the gate of the temple. His liberty came from the temple gate. Are you hearing me here today? From his mother's womb he was slain. And Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. That was when the visitation of the man came. I remember the story of a woman who testified in the area one church. This woman was crawling on ground like a dog, hand and leg like this on the ground. And he said, all I need is take me to that church. All I need is to touch the gate of the church. And she came, touched the gate of the church at the area one church. Bam! The power of God rushed into her body. She was up on her feet. The question is, if somebody can be set free at a gate, how much more you stepped inside the house that is the carrier of the presence? I am here to announce to somebody today, your freedom is happening in this house today. Everything you are trusting God to do for you in this house, I declare the release of them today. Shout the loudest, amen. A bigger believers, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. What happens in the house? What are the dividends of the house? We have looked at four in the first service. We looked at four in the second service. If we are to go through all of them, there wouldn't be time. So I'll go straight to point number one in this service, which is point number nine overall. The house of God, of the Lord, is the place of angelic and celestial traffic. It's the place where you experience and encounter the traffic of angels. The house of the Lord is the place where angels are on assignment. In Genesis chapter 28 and in verse 12, Jacob saw a ladder set up. The top reached the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And he called that place in verse 17, the house of the Lord. This is none other but the house of God. The place where you see angels ascending and descending is the house of God. Zechariah was ministering inside the temple in Luke chapter 1. And then he ran into an angel that stood by the right-hand side of the altar in verse 11. The right-hand side of the altar. There appeared to him an angel of the Lord that was standing on the right-hand side of the altar. I'd like you to see that scripture very carefully. There appeared an angel of the Lord standing on the right-hand side. The angel didn't appear because Zechariah was there. The angel was standing on the right-hand side of the altar. He only made himself visible to Zechariah. So the temple, the house is their residential. They live there. If God will open your eyes now, you will see angels that are taller than this building here now. Everywhere here at the entrances. At the area one church one day, I was preaching and I moved like this and I ran into someone. And I just stood apart to go. All right. So I realized that I just ran into one of those. I could pass through him and go because they are not material. They are not physical material. But he just made me to feel that the guy is there. Just for your information, in case you are standing here alone. There appeared. He manifested to himself to him because he had been standing at the right hand side of the altar. They ascend, they descend. What's the meaning of that? They ascend with requests and descend with results. They go, and you saw the order, ascending and descending. It's not descending and ascending. They go up first, then they come down. They ascend with praise and descend with proofs. They ascend with with your prayer and descend with your products. Angels can be found anywhere. But if you want to find them plenty, go to the church. Soldiers can be found on the road. But if you want to find them plenty, go to the barrack. Am I communicating? And the angels are in different categories. Deliverance angels, revelation angels, angels of supply. They are plenty. I prophesy to someone here today, you shall experience and encounter the ministry of angels in this service today. If you are a believer, shout the loudest, amen. Angelic encounters are natural. And before this service is over, God will open eyes. Because whatever we preach about, God reveals them. He manifests them. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Number two, the house of the Lord is the place of answered prayer. It's the place of answered prayer. God answers prayers everywhere. But the house of the Lord is specifically dedicated to prayer and answers. Hannah prayed in the temple. Eli heard her and her answer came. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11. Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 14. The blind and the lame went into him in the temple and they were healed there. Answer came for them. Luke chapter 1 verse 12 and 13. Zechariah had been praying. But while he ministered in the temple, answer came for him while he was in the temple. Answer came right there. Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. Acts chapter 3 verse 1. When the answer came for the cripple at the gate of the temple. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he prayed a prayer to God. He said, if people pray in this temple or towards this temple, when you hear in heaven, please hear. Because this is the purpose of the temple. Where people come to pray and expect to be answered. In 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 28, all the way to verse 30, he said, yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and unto the prayer, which thy servant prayed before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened towards this house, night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that you may hearken to the prayer, which thy servant shall make toward this place, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant, and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Not just praying in the place, praying toward the place. That was what Daniel did in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. While he was in captivity, he was focusing the direction of the temple. How much more you have access to step in weekly is the place of answered prayer. I speak to someone here today in the name of Jesus. Every prayer, every request, every desire in your heart today, you are living here with the answers to those desires. You are living here with the answers to those desires. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, amen! Number three, the house of the Lord is the place of spiritual realignment. Spiritual realignment. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if, verse 26, if we sin willfully, when you forsake the assembly of the people, it is easy to sin, easy, willfully. Willful sin is easy when you neglect the assembly. So coming together is to be realigned. You are realigned. You are kept on track spiritually by coming to the assembly of the brethren. You are kept on track.
Am I speaking to anybody here at all? Anyone who stays away from church will soon stray into sin. Stay away from church, stay away from the brethren, easily they stray into sin. It is also the place to run to when confronted. You return back on track. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23, when they were threatened, they returned to church. They went to the church. They went to their own company and reported the devil and his agents. Kept on track. So it is easy to be lost to distractions when you stay away from church. It is easy also to be lost to the battles of life. Everybody here that is losing focus, that is getting easily distracted, today that agenda of the enemy is arrested. I declare your return back to track in Jesus' precious name. Number four, the house of the Lord is the place of joy and gladness. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. Psalm 22, verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. So when we gather, he is among us. And if he is among us, there is fullness of joy. Psalm 16, verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures, pleasures, pleasures forevermore, pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. The meaning of that is that the presence of God is antidepressant. The presence of God, the church, the house of the Lord is an antidepressant therapy. It is a cure for suicidal tendency. It's a cure for hopelessness. It's a cure for discouragement and despair. It's a cure for the garment of heaviness, the spirit of sorrow. I announce prophetically for someone here, everyone that is currently a victim of depression, a victim of the spirit of sorrow, a victim of the spirit of heaviness, I declare that spirit and that garment is arrested now. In the name of Jesus, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, receive it now. A louder amen. You are living here with joy. Who is God speaking to? Whatever will make your joy complete will happen to you in this service. Whatever will make your joy complete will happen to you as you step off this service. Whatever will make your joy complete is waiting for you at home. Because you came today, something exciting is waiting for you at home. You believe it, say the loudest, amen. So church is therapeutic. Church is a therapy. If there were no church in this country, it would have exploded since. Would have exploded to Yoshe. Since the country would have been forgotten. If there was no prayer, if there was nothing. People are calmed down because they are hearing message. People would have finished it on each other since. Because nobody has the monopoly of anything. Madness can jam madness. You know, church is very terrible. I prophesy to you today. It is well with you. It is well with your life. It is well with your family. It is well with your children. I prophesy to our nation. It is well with Nigeria. It is well with our nation. Anyone who will let us rest, they are the ones that will be laid to rest. And this nation shall rest. Shout the loudest, amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise as you take your seat. How do we maximize the dividends of appearing in the house of the Lord?
How do we benefit maximally? Because there are people going to church for donkey years and nothing changing their lives. How do you come to church and see change? Number one, come with excitement and expectancy. Excitement is magnetic. With joy shall you draw waters. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3. From the wells of salvation. If you must draw anything out of God, anything out of scripture, anything out of his house, you draw with joy. Number two, come with revelation and understanding. Understanding makes everything outstanding. Come with revelation and understanding. Understand why you are there. It builds faith. Understand why you are here. And it builds possession. Deuteronomy 29:29. He said, the secret things belong to the Lord, but those things which are revealed belong unto us. If they are revealed to you, they belong to you. Now you know that if you come to church, you experience angelic encounters. It's a possibility. So you now come with that understanding, that revelation. You know that it's a place where your life turns around. So you come with that understanding, you come with that expectation. You know it's a place of your blessing. It's God speaking to somebody here. So you come with revelation. Number three, come eagerly and promptly. The Bible said, "Oh Lord my God, early will I seek you so I can see your power." Another scripture said, "Those who seek me early will find me." You can't drag your feet to church. You don't keep God waiting. It is an appointment. The house of your lover is never far. You don't keep an important guest waiting. Many people wonder why they come to church and they have never seen any result in life. When was the last time you came and met opening prayer? You did opening prayer. Or in fact, opening prayer met you. Did you hear what I just said? Opening prayer met you in church. And then you went through the praise worship and went through everything. There are some who just stroll in and stroll out. They won't do that for an interview. They won't do that for a presidential appointment, but they will do that for church. And they wonder why the church going has produced no result. Come eagerly and promptly. Number four, be committed to service in the house. Anybody who is too big to serve the Lord is too small to be helped by the Lord. Service. In Luke chapter 4, verse 38 and 39, Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. The only reason why God will permanently keep you fit is because you will arise and minister to him. Meaning of that is, ministering to the Lord, serving the Lord is key to accessing the dividends of the house. How do you serve the Lord? Through soul winning. If you are excited about the house, you will attract others into the house by winning them for God. You serve them. You serve the Lord in soul winning. Secondly, you serve through giving. In tithes, in offerings. How do you know where a man's heart is? That is where his money goes. A man whose heart has left his wife and gone into the life of a strange woman, his money goes there and the wife and children are starving. A man who is an alcoholic, a drunkard, his money goes into drink and the family is suffering. If your heart is with God, you serve Him with your resources. Thirdly, you serve God with your time, with your energy, with your ability. Let me beg everybody here. As I said in the first service, the most important place, the most important thing in church is not what where you sit. It is how you serve. How you serve. You shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless. Not you shall sit like an executive in church, and He shall bless. If they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure, if they obey and serve Him. Please, let's serve God. During our Kingdom Financial Star meeting, stewards meeting this year, the second edition of it, I brought a man who testified. That man is an effortless billionaire. Effortless. He was the one who told me, he said, he buys houses now the way you buy Tom Tom. He's doing a contract of 100 and almost 30 billion naira, 130 billion. That is millions of dollars. Till tomorrow, if you catch him, he's standing in church, in his church, as an usher. His wife in the choir. He said service brought him to that point because you shall serve the Lord and He shall bless. If you catch him, and they said he has 10 million in his account, you won't believe it if you catch him. But this is a man that has not taken one bank loan for any project. Whatever contract you gave him, even if it's 100 billion, he has enough money to start it without borrowing from nowhere. By service, you shall serve the Lord, and He shall bless your bread. I'd like us to acquire a service mentality and be delivered from a status mentality. Let's be delivered from it. Let's embrace a service, a servant's mentality, and be delivered from a status mentality. From the day I knew myself coming to the Lord till tomorrow, I have remained a servant. If I get out of here now and I see a paper on the road, I pick it on the spot. Everywhere I found myself, I have endeavored to serve. And by His grace, the service. That's why we are still doing street evangelism. After you left Jalingo and the whole stadium overflooded, you still came back and was preaching to one by one people on the road. I mean, that is, and it will never stop till Jesus comes. We will still go to lunguicious places. Lungus. Am I communicating at all? You shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless your bread and your water. So, when you step into the house, serve. There is something to do, even if it is to join the people cleaning in the toilet, cleaning inside the house. Do something in the house and you will connect with the dividends without any doubt. Your impute will determine your outcome in the house. Did you hear what I just said? Your impute in the house will determine your outcome in the house. It will determine your take home in the house. It will determine. God does not have so much time for those who have nothing to do for Him and with Him. The centurion said, the people said, he loved our nation. Only Him built a church. He is a military general. And he said, all right, if that is the case, let his servant be healed. Somebody say a loud amen. Look at somebody by the side, say, do something. Say it louder. Say, do something. Say, serve God with soul winning. Serve God in evangelism. Serve God with your resources. Serve God with your ability. With your energy. Take your seat. So we serve God with our Shakobala. Come with commitment.
to service, and then we'll talk about serving God with your talent, with your energy, for the success of the services. You are doing that so that service can be successful. Exodus 23 and verse 25. Number 5, walk in love with the brethren. Walk in love. In love. They were all with one accord. Don't harbor bitterness, enmity inside church or even anywhere. That is just like wasting your coming to church. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. He said, if there be there for any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. No need for contention and competition. No need for competitive jealousy. No need for bitterness with a fellow brother or a sister in church. On the grounds of struggling over seat, on the grounds of we knew each other from town and we have quarreled. No. That will waste your time in the house. He said, you love God? He said, you prove it by how much you love people. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. I mentioned that earlier on. I was wondering why it's not there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? You cannot love a God you can't see. When you have not loved a person you can see, walk in love. Forgive people in advance. Delete your heart of bitterness so you can make heaven and you benefit from the house here. And finally, come with value and reverence. Psalm 89, verse 7. Value and reverence. He said, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be heard in reverence of all them that are about him. Greatly to be feared. Greatly to be feared. Youth, let us reverence God. Service time is not chatting time or texting time inside church. It's not chewing gum time. No. Every level of decorum should be put in place. It's not time to be gisting with somebody on the nearby seat. It's not time to be talking about how they dress. It's not time. There are so many who disrespect God and they want God to deliver them. It doesn't work like that. Even in the physical, if you disrespect your father, you are on your own. Is God speaking to somebody here? What you cannot do in the front of the president of your country, don't dream of it in the presence of the governor general of the universe. Don't dream of it. When we had the chairs that had the back place for putting up Bibles, I think some still have it. At times, all manner of things you will find from those chairs. Baby nappy things, pump, all manner. People would put it inside the house of the Lord. If not for a merciful God, if he just releases an angel to give them a dirty slap, the same person died for church. I mean, if it was a human being's house, you did that, you are not permitted to enter for life. You understand? What you can't do in your own house, you dream of it in the house of the Lord. My philosophy permanently is that the house of God should be better than my own house. My personal philosophy is what I haven't done for God, I can't do for myself. What I haven't done for the house, I can't. And God is my witness. There is no amount of money I have spent on myself that is a fraction of what I have spent for God and for church. A fraction. No amount of money. None. That not because I'm a pastor now. Before we became a pastor. There was a time I couldn't buy a shoe of 7,000 naira. Yet I could spend 50,000 on the spot. For God and God-related matters.
on the spot at a go. Am I communicating? When your value for God and his house increases, your value in the eyes of God will also be enhanced. And the devil will lose grip on your life. It is a new day. Stand up on your feet. There are those who are wearing very brand new dress, but carrying very scattered Bible. They are even begging people to assist them get a Bible. It's a shame. You can get shoe, you can't get Bible. You can get shoe, you can get suit, can't get a Bible. Say, I'm looking for a Bible. Looking for a Bible like how? He said, buy the truth. My word is truth. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. So it is to be bought. Bible that is being packaged with newspaper covering at the back. That is for those who have Bible. There are many days, bring out your Bible, nothing to bring. Now let me beg you. I know you have Bible in your phone and you have Bible in your iPad, but please carry the raw Bible. For the day that the battery of that phone will die, and that iPad will crash, hold the raw Bible. He said, this book of the law, not this iPad of the law, shall not depart from your hand. And I think that many times technology wants to delete the raw word of God. Technology. They are friendly to some degree, but there is a degree in which they have some sinister motive. Somebody say amen. I use the iPad like water. And how many of you know that if you get so used to those technological things, a time will come when you begin to forget Bible passages. You have to begin to look for it again, how to look for it manually. You just begin to forget it. But in those days, we say open to. So before you know it, you are there. Now you have to type a word to find where that scripture is. It's a new season. I see change coming for somebody. Is somebody receiving a change of story here? Lift up your hands and lift your voice and let's appreciate the King of Kings. Appreciate the Lord of Lords. Appreciate the great I am that I am. The rose of Sharon. The lily of the valley. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Shema gayada galayada yada hashtag. Lift your voice and honor him. Lift your voice and adore him. Thank him for the blessing of his house that you are receiving right now. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, lift your voice for the next 2 minutes and thank him.
Up on high, the name of Jesus. Oh, before, come glorify Christ Jesus, the King.
Your hands and say after me, Father, I come before you today. Thank you for your word to me today. I receive the grace to come before you with excitement, to come with revelation, to come eagerly and promptly, to be committed to service in the house. I come, O Lord, to walk in love with the brethren. I receive that grace. I receive that help. I receive that mercy. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, go ahead and speak to God. I receive the grace to value your house and to reverence you. Speak to God. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Anywhere you are today, you want to make your ways right with Jesus. You want your sins to be forgiven. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. You will pick your Bibles and you will pick your bags and say, Pastor, I want to make it right. I've come to realign. Maybe you backslid and you want to return back to Jesus. Carry your Bibles and carry your bags also and step forward here as you realign yourself and realign your life with Jesus. I'll give you the count of seven. Lord, I give you my heart. One.
I live for you.
As you come with your Bibles, your things. Two. Rush forward, be the first to come. Everybody sing. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. You want to rededicate yourself to Jesus. You slid back, you backslid, and you want to return back to Jesus, carry your bags and Bibles, and step forward. You are bound by an addiction, a lifestyle, and you want the yoke broken. Also, carry your Bibles and your bags and come forward. God bless you. I'll give you another count of seven. One.
Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you my heart.
I give you my soul.
I live for you.
I live for you alone.
I give you my soul.
I live for you.
I live for you alone. Every moment I'm away. People, take your seat 1 minute. Those of you in the front, place your right hand on your chest. As you pray this prayer with me, say after me, Lord Jesus. Louder, Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever. Backward never. Help from above, I receive. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare the help of God upon you. The hold of the enemy over your life is broken. And grace to live for God is released upon you. I call it done in Jesus' name.